Well, again, gentlemen, thank you for coming out. For those of you that are first time or may not know who I am, my name is Antonio. I'm one of the lay leaders of Challenge Men's Ministry. I get the privilege to kind of be the face of this ministry, and I want to introduce you to our director. This is Pastor Kerry Rose. As a pastor and a leader in the church, he is responsible for being the covering over this ministry. He watches our back. He's done an excellent job in mentoring myself, and he's a wonderful, godly man. And I wanted to interview him because for some of you that are new, and maybe some of you that have been coming here for a while, and you're not really, you're kind of confused about what we're about, what we're doing, what we want to do. Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about that. These past couple of weeks, we've been praying for this ministry, and we were looking at solidifying our direction as to where we're going to be going. And it dawned on us that if we as men are going to be trying to decide our direction, we're going to fail. So what we decided to start praying about is that God would be the one giving us our direction. And the only way to tap into that direction is through prayer. So, Pastor Kerry, you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, years ago, how we came back to this was my wife and Linnea and two or three other ladies, before they started the women's ministry, went through a Bible study called Experiencing God, written by a guy named Blackaby. And the book essentially is about Moses and how Moses discovered wherever God was moving, he wanted to be there. And so they spent months studying this book, and then the women's ministry was birthed to what it is today. One of the things I've sensed over the last, few months is that we men are really good at doing things, lots of you, because we're wired that way to provide and protect and do stuff. But we often get tricked into doing the good things, but not the best things. And so I asked Antonio and Tom Willis and some other people, some of the leaders, and I'm asking all of you now, maybe more pleading with you, to pray, maybe even fast, between now and May 1st, that we would all discover where God wants us to go, that He would unite us in purpose. Factually, what I mean about that is you will see, whether it's with Moses or Abraham, God gets one man's attention, and then He puts an army behind them. Moses or Abraham had 200 people. What's kind of cool is the 200 routed five kings and all their armies. We see the next time Moses, God uses him and puts 6 million people behind him. The pattern, again, is that God speaks, and then we're challenged to follow that man. The next one is Joshua. In Joshua 11, and why I bring that up is it's where I'm reading, where I was this morning. Joshua is facing an army of millions, and God talks to him and says, like He usually does, be strong, be courageous. I'm going to go before you, and I'm going to wipe these folks out. Now, again, that's kind of nice. It's kind of like me being in a fist fight with 10 people and saying, Antonio says, hey, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to help you beat these guys. But I'm kind of dependent that he might show up, you know? What I mean by that is Joshua had to take a step. You got to fight to find out if you're going to win. Joshua steps up to the fight, and we see by verse 15 that there's a pattern again. It says God wiped everybody out. Joshua and his army fought. But it says the Lord taught Moses. Moses taught Joshua, and Joshua did all that Moses had commanded him. All, not some, all. We, I think, get lost, again, in doing good things, going to Bible studies and doing, and they're great things, really, but not the best things. And I think God wants to unite us because of the teaching we have, for lack of a better way to put it, a Moses. We have someone who teaches the Bible. And again, we can get distracted by the things that go on in a place this size. But God speaks through him still. Our challenge is to unite underneath him and pray about the direction God wants to take with all of you. This whole Connect movement is part of that. Will I unite under God's message, like Moses did, like Abraham, somebody like Gideon? You know, he's hiding, you know, so nobody can find him doing his grain thing, and an angel shows up and says, "Hey, great man of valor." And Gideon's going, "You got the wrong guy." God always shows up to one man. If the man obeys, he puts an army behind him. I want to find out, and I hope you do too, what does God want to do with each of us? Because it's not us by ourselves. He's moving. Where is he moving? And I bet he'll speak to each of us in a similar fashion about where that is, what we're supposed to be doing. And I'm excited to see what that is. One of the things that's come up when we prayed is, I'm curious if God doesn't want to just unite us. And again, the phrase in the Bible is to unite us in the fear of his name, in the reverence of God. He gets the glory. What if he wants to unite us to touch other men in this community? That this isn't just about Calvary Albuquerque, but about us being united in direction, united in love, because the messages that we're discovering, and you know, we men aren't great at loving people. We like to do things, but we're having these messages about loving people. How do we do that? Because God wants us to. It's very difficult for us. But it's not about doing it perfectly. It's about being willing. Each one of these men, I mean, can you imagine Abraham hearing a voice? And again, I've never heard from God. I'm not that holy, but it's amazing he had to move quite a ways away and take his whole family. Each of us, when we unite to follow what God is directing us to do, there'll be a level of isolation. And then there's going to be time where we're going to be fought to do one of two things. Walk away from God or walk toward him. In my prayer time, I call it, I'm going to do what I want to do today, or am I going to do what God wants me to do? Or if I get in a fight with Penny, and you know that occurs every now and then, we have times of intense fellowship. And the phrase that always comes to my mind is, do I want to be right this time, or do I want to be right with God? Because if I want to be right with God, that means I don't talk. And it's amazing, the arguments are half as long. So you guys have those too. You're laughing at me. So Antonio and I and many of you, I've asked you, please pray for us. Pray for what God wants to do. Help us not to be self-focused. I mean, he tells us in Philippians to do nothing out of selfish ambition or conceit, but in all things to consider others better than ourselves. And then there's that tough verse, 5 says, because this was the mind that was in Christ Jesus. Help us to do that. Help us as your leaders to be men who listen and then act correctly. And I think what that really means too is Jesus said, go into all the world and make disciples. I think he wants to use every one of you to teach somebody else. He wants you to be a Moses to a Joshua. Teach somebody what you know. Give them the privilege of experience recognizing where God's moving in their lives and joining him. And that's kind of what he's been teaching me.
All right. Well, give it up for Pastor Perry. Thank you. All right, gentlemen. Well, caveat off of that. This morning, I wanted to talk a little bit about what our Moses, Pastor Skip at this church, what he's been teaching. Many of you, the week before Easter, we're here, and he talked about Jesus loves traitors. Most of you, I would assume, were here. A lot of you guys are men in ministry. Some of you are new, but I'll go over a little bit of background of what he was teaching. Pastor Skip talked about two traitors in the times of Christ. On one hand, you got Judas. Judas, as you know, betrayed Jesus. He orchestrated his arrest that ultimately led to his crucifixion. Most people would consider that betrayal, being a traitor. You got Peter, on the other hand. Some would say, well, I don't remember Peter ever betraying Jesus. Well, he denied him 3 times. In probably one of the most intense moments in his life, he failed. He denied him. This is all in Matthew chapter 10, but if you Matthew chapter 26, but if you go a couple of chapters back, Jesus, he said to his disciples, he says, whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. So if you look at Peter's betrayal, you can see, theologically speaking, he was hanging by a thread. He denied the Lord. And so as I'm pondering on this message, many of you have gone over it in your connect groups, as I'm thinking about it and the Lord's kind of pouring into me, it led me to think of maybe, what is betrayal? Have I ever betrayed? Well, I certainly didn't turn Jesus in to be crucified. And well, what is betrayal? And a gentleman this morning, one of our leaders, Rod Dory, came up to me and said, well, maybe we should define what betrayal is. Because maybe some of you are thinking, well, I've never denied or I've never betrayed Christ. And so we got a definition from the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. It says one of the definitions of betrayal, to betray, is to disappoint the hopes or expectations of, to be disloyal to betray one's friends. And so going off that definition, I could say maybe all of us at one point in time have become betrayers of Christ. So I want to tell you a story about my life where I severely betrayed Christ. Rewind a few years back, and I was in the Marine Corps. We had just finished up a very successful deployment in Afghanistan. During that time in Afghanistan, I was in prayer. I was keeping watch. My prayer was that the Lord would allow us to go and take the fight to the enemy, that I would bring all my Marines back unscathed, and that we would have a successful deployment. We would go to do what we were supposed to do. During that deployment, we always seemed to have the upper edge on the Taliban. They couldn't shoot at us straight. They always were missing with their RPG. It was just, we never even had a close call. And it was very successful. So when I come back home, my guard kind of goes down. I'm back home. I'm celebrating. It's kind of nice. And, so I'm living in California. I'm not too far off from the Nevada border. All you kind of know where this is going. I decide, hey, I'm back. I think I'm going to take a trip to Las Vegas. Now, at this time, I'm a believer. I think that I would know better. But the sad part about it is that my guard was down. I wasn't watching. I wasn't praying. I was just kind of celebrating. So I decide, I hook up with a buddy who lives there, and I go to Vegas. And, you know, that morning, it was a Sunday. I was in California. I went to church, kind of going through the motions. And in the afternoon, I'm driving on to Vegas. And you can imagine myself kind of deterring those voices in my head. Hey, maybe you shouldn't be doing that. You're a believer. What are you doing? But I ignored them. So I continued on going, and one thing leads to another, and I'm partying it up, drunk, carousing, you know, you get the picture. So after this whole, this night, I kind of wake up in the morning, and you ever felt that conviction that you know you screwed up, you know you did wrong, and you know that all the things that Christ did for you, you feel like you've just thrown away. You're a failure. And that's how I felt. I betrayed my Lord. I betrayed him heavily. And so I had to come to a point of repentance in my life for the things that I'd done. And that's just one instance, gentlemen. And I have, you know, many more instances where I betrayed Christ. This is just one example that I wanted to bring up. So I wanted to talk about what the Lord taught me through that. How did I get to that point of betrayal? How did I get, I mean, if I'm such a strong believer, the Lord did so much for me in Afghanistan, I get back and I just throw caution to the wind and go and betray him. How did I get to that point? And that's what the Lord was teaching me through this message. You know, how did Peter and how did Judas get to the point of betrayal? And the Lord gave me that scripture verse that's on your tables there. Jesus tells us that our flesh is weak. It's weak sauce. The scripture tells us, you know, be in the spirit, do not be in the flesh. And, you know, it gives us a warning. If we walk in our flesh, we're going to be weak. If you kind of flip that scripture, just, you know, put one sentence with another, you could say, you know, in watch and pray, indeed the spirit is willing. And he says, the flesh is weak. You will enter into temptation. Well, I allowed my flesh to enter into temptation and I failed. But what was I not doing? I was not watching and I was not praying. Now, in Afghanistan, we had a what we call a FOB. And we were a forward operating base. We were kind of out in the front lines, and we had to have a headquarters to come back to. Some of you that are in the military, you know what that looks like. Well, on this FOB, we have, it was shaped somewhat like a square. And on every corner and in between, we had what we call posts. And we'd have a watch up on there. So I started thinking about that word watch. In these posts, there's heavily armed Marines. Their job, 24 hours a day, we're always rotating, we're always checking, we're always watching. There's somebody watching the perimeter to make sure that the enemy does not come and ambush us, surprise us, so on and so forth. We even have, you know, points where, you know, you have a man over here, you have a man over there. Well, we interlocked their machine gun fire so that way there's no area, there's no way for penetration from the enemy, or else they're going to get hit with heavy machine guns. Even in space that we can't see, we covered with mortars, we covered with indirect fire. We had a camera up in the air, we called it a G-Boss, and it could see 360 around us. So we didn't give the enemy any chance to sneak up on us. But we always had one thing, we always had a watch. There was always eyes watching, and we'd rotate them. And I would go up there and I'd check on my Marines to make sure that they're watching. There was always vigilance. Now, picture yourself in the Garden of Gethsemane. When Jesus is praying, he knows his hour is coming. Well, what commandment did he give to his disciples? And he says, watch and pray. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And that's what happened to me. I wasn't watching and praying when I got back. And I took all of my Marines off post. And the enemy just came up. The scripture says to watch. Take heed, watch and pray. For you do not know when the time is. Jesus also says, watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming. Again, he says, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come upon you unexpectedly. Watch therefore, and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things. So this is something not that he had mentioned maybe just once, but he mentioned it multiple times. Watch and pray, watch and pray, watch and pray. So as I was doing this study and I was thinking to myself, wow, that's how I came to the point of betrayal. That's how I came to the point of temptation. I wasn't watching. So there's many men in here, and I think for a lot of men, you know, you come here hoping to seek or find a word of encouragement for a man-specific issue that you're dealing with, whether that be lust, whether that be pornography, whether that be an adulterous relationship, greed, maybe you're working too hard. Men-specific issues, and you're hoping to find something that the Lord can give you today that'll help you get through that. And that's what I want to share with you. Watch and pray. The Lord says that those who seek him diligently will find him. Those who ask shall receive. Those who seek shall find. Knock and it will be open. And I think that has a lot to do with watching and praying. You know, for if you're here this morning and you're struggling with something, maybe you've committed sin, maybe you're dealing with a hard marriage, the Lord tells us, watch and pray. Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation, because the road of temptation and the road of the flesh is going to lead you down a path that you don't want to go, like I was. Now, the Lord is very good. He's always welcoming you back with open arms if you're willing to repent. And I had to come to a point of repentance, and the Lord, you know, I prayed, and the Lord brought people into my life to help me get rid of that sin. I like to drink. That was my vice, if you will. And, you know, the Lord kind of called me out of that place of, you know, being that kind of guy. But when you watch and pray, sometimes the Lord does weird things. He asks you to do strange things. And even in the midst of a trial, when you're watching and you're praying, and you see the attack coming, sometimes weird things happen. and you can kind of lose trust. I'll give you an example. I prayed. I was in prayer. I was watching over my Marines, and I was praying that we never got ambushed. So I wasn't on post, and I was sleeping. It was my time off, and I remember all directions around us in Afghanistan, automatic machine gun fire coming from every direction, all around us, and it was close. And so I'm rushing, I'm getting all my gear on, I'm thinking, oh man, we probably have taken many casualties because the gunfire was so close to us, I could hear it, that I thought we were getting overrun. And it all happened instantly, so I was thinking it was a pretty well-designed ambush. And at that moment, when that happened, my trust went out the door. I said, Lord, I'd asked you to protect us. Lord, I asked you not for this not to happen. I was praying, I've been pleading with you, Lord. And so I get my gear on, I get my weapon, I'm getting out and I'm getting ready to fight. And I see some other Marines, they were in the command center. I walk into the command center to see where we need to go, what we need to do. And a lot of the guys had a smile on their face. And I'm thinking, what's going on? Well, in Afghanistan, there's a holiday, and it's called Eid. They celebrate the day when Abraham was about to sacrifice his son, but instead the Lord provided the ram for him. Well, all the local Afghans, all the local police, all the local army celebrate that like we do on New Year's Eve. What do? That's what had happened. And I kind of felt really stupid because I'm here sitting here ready to fight, but I also felt very stupid because my trust was out the door. I said, Lord, I asked you and you failed me, but the whole time the Lord didn't fail me. He was actually taking care of us. And He brought us home. He answered. He was faithful to hear my prayer. So in your struggles, and if you've been watching and praying, sometimes things are not as they seem when the Lord is in your corner. That's a lesson I had to learn the hard way. So during this season when what Pastor Carrie and I had talked about, we're going to be watching and praying. Something strange may happen. The Lord may ask us to do strange things. For example, the Lord told Peter, hey, you want to pay the taxes? Why don't you go throw a line out there? There's going to be a fish with a coin in his mouth. Can you imagine being Peter sitting there like, what? Sometimes the Lord tells us to do things like that. He told, some other disciples, hey, go into town. There's a guy. He's going to be carrying, I think, a bucket of water. Tell him, hey, the Lord's going to be eating in your house, and He's going to let you up. Or, hey, there's a colt. No one's ridden over there. Why don't you go grab it, bring it over here. There's things in my life, and I'm sure in your life you can relate to, where the Lord's told you to do something. It doesn't make sense, but do it. Do it anyway, and the Lord will bring blessing. We are hoping for that in this ministry. We want the Lord to tell us what to do. It may seem odd, it may seem strange, but we're going to go for it, and we need your prayers. But with that, there will be a season of suffering. Pastor Skip on Wednesday night, he had talked about suffering. He had said that, the only way to endure suffering is to actually suffer. I was thinking about, a lot of the training that we did as Marines. I hated it. I hated when we had to go out there. We didn't get much water. We didn't get much food. But after that, you come out stronger. The same spiritually. The Lord puts us through seasons of suffering. Maybe right now you're suffering through a difficult marriage. Maybe you're suffering through a job that you don't like. The Lord's putting you through certain trials right now. Continue to pray and watch. Continue to pray and watch, because the suffering is going to produce fruit. He puts it in all of His creation. For those of you guys that go to the gym, when you go lift weights and you want to get stronger, what do you got to do? You got to lift the weight, and sometimes it hurts. Sometimes the next day you're sore. That's a model. A acorn cannot be a tree until, hey, it has to suffer, has to go into the ground, die to itself, and start to blossom. It has to fight through the soil, fight through the snow, fight through the wind. And it suffers, but it produces. It's a model that God uses. So when suffering comes, and I believe that it will, especially in this season and even in this ministry, and maybe in your lives you're going through it right now, you will have to suffer. But be encouraged that through that suffering you're going to be made stronger and you'll be able to endure it. When you do, the Lord a lot of times will tell you to do something and your flesh doesn't want to. Again, I point back to that scripture. It says, the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. Continue to watch and pray. Continue to watch and pray, because if you walk in your flesh, if you walk out of here and you go back to, you know, doing what you're doing, and you stay in the flesh, you're weak. It's not going to happen. Continue to watch and pray. Stay awake. Stay alert. We had a, has anybody ever heard of Gaslow's color code? No one? Well, in the Marine Corps, we talked about a color code. It was a mindset. Now, in the white, if you have a in the white mindset, you're basically going along. You're not really paying attention. You know, you're just listening to your music, and that's your mindset. The next level is the yellow. We always told our Marines to be in the yellow. You have your head on a swivel. You know what's going on. You're ready for an attack, but you're not overly sensitive. You're not, you know, your heart rate's not going, but you're aware. Then there's the red. That's when there's an imminent attack about to take place. Your finger's on the trigger. Your weapon's off safe. It's on fire, and you're ready to go. And then there's the black. The black is basically after you get hit by an IED. You don't know what happened. You're dazed and confused. You're in unconsciousness. Well, I would say, spiritually speaking, as we're watching and praying, we need to be in the yellow. We always need to have our heads on a swivel. We always need to be prepared to give a word, as the scripture says. We always need to be prepared to start praying. Maybe in your tables now, there's a man who needs prayer. Maybe if you're in the yellow and you're focusing on that mindset, you have a word for him. What we don't want is to be go from white to black. That's what happened to me in Vegas. I came back from Afghanistan and I was in the white. And all of a sudden, I start hitting the bottle and I'm in the black. I wake up the next morning like, what happened? If I would have stayed in the yellow, I wouldn't have betrayed my Lord. If Peter would have stayed up and prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, like the Lord Jesus told him to do twice, maybe he wouldn't have had to gone through that trial. The Lord knew, but think of the possibilities of what would have happened, how Peter wouldn't have had to go through so much heartache and pain. We also discussed a little bit about better versus best. Now, if you are like me, I like the best. I don't want to get the better, but I want to get the best. In our lives, the Lord gives us options. He says, well, you can choose your own path, which is good. We can be doing good things. Or you can choose the best, which is His way. Again, I go back to focusing on, sometimes the Lord's going to tell you to do weird things, and your flesh may not like it, but if you're watching and praying and you do it, He'll bring you to the best. I'll give you an example. When I finally got out of the military, I was praying, I was watching, and the Lord told me, I want you to go back home to Albuquerque, and I want you to get involved in ministry. Now, I didn't really know what that meant, but I thought it was kind of the strangest thing, and me, and as I was thinking, as a pastor, as a speaker, no, that totally beyond comprehension. But the Lord put it on my heart. And I remember exactly where I was at the exact intersection when the Lord was putting that on my heart. And I'm thinking to myself, well, my family's going to think I'm crazy, one, because it just doesn't happen in our family. People don't just leave everything and go join the ministry. And so I said, okay, Lord, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know if I'm going to have a job. I don't know what's going to happen. So I come back to Albuquerque, and the Lord puts specific people in place. He put another Marine in front of me. His name is Pastor Nelson Walker. He told me about the school of ministry. I ended up joining. So I went to the school of ministry. I started leading a little bit, and now here I am. You rewind those years after that night in Vegas, I would have never guessed that I'd be standing here. But the Lord asked me to do something strange, and I obeyed it. And my flesh didn't want to do it, but I'm blessed now. He also asked me to, you know, not to be working like I was. I work at a warehouse. I don't make that much, but the Lord had given me, I have more money now than I ever had. I don't know how the Lord does it. He asks you to do weird things, and I know that because I'm in the will of the Lord, that it's the best thing for me. So think of in your lives. Are you trying to do the better? Or are you doing what the Lord wants you to do, which is the best? I guarantee you, through suffering, through denying your flesh, through praying and watching, the Lord can bring you to the best. I'm a testimony to how good the Lord is because I've never been happier in my life. I've met a beautiful wife. I have a great job, even though it's a minimal job. I've never had a happier job. I have, you know, our finances are blessed. I'm the most blessed man that I know. And it's all because of the Lord and because of those strange things He told me to do, and I followed it. I want to encourage you, gentlemen, if the Lord is speaking to you and you need to do something strange, you need to quit doing the better and pray and watch. Deny your flesh and go seek after the best. You won't regret it, gentlemen. So we want to give you guys we have about 50 minutes of group discussion. So go over those verses. Your QB has a discussion list you guys can go over. So I thank you all for coming. I hope that through what the Lord has done through me, you'll be blessed. So thank you, gentlemen.